From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, folks. It is a Friday, not a Red Friday this week because the Chiefs have secured themselves that all-important week off to go with home field advantage. That is particularly important. And so it's one of those days where we can take a look at some of the other games, although I think I'll cover that right at the end. But we have some bits of news. We're going to talk about this defensive coordinator thing that we started discussing yesterday, as well as what's going on around the league, what could be coming down the pike, and starting to look at who I think's really going to be an optimal matchup for these Chiefs come next week. The boys are off today. Everybody had some things come up in their lives that we just couldn't get everybody on the same page to record on Thursday. So I'm going to run through this and give you guys the point blank kind of stuff that, you know, I'm known to do. If you haven't been over to RGR Football lately on YouTube, check that out. I've been doing some interesting things in both in studio as well as in person when I was in Kansas City. Check that out. Got a new RGR gear store over there for you, too. I'll include that in the show notes as well. All of our stuff is going up on Chiefs Digest. Everything that Chris and I are doing in print, as well as a little bit of the video stuff over on Locked On Chiefs. So check those out as well. So before we get to it today, first piece of news that I think is probably right in line with where it should be. You kind of forgot about this in the excitement of the season, but Tony Gonzalez is a finalist for the Hall of Fame. That was announced on Thursday. Big, big deal. And I think, again, because of all of the success that's gone on, we all kind of let that slip a little bit in order to focus on just how good Patrick Mahomes and this offense has been playing. But there's back in the day, the last time the Chiefs had an offense that was close to this prolific was when Tony was there with Trent Green, and they were doing the things that they did under a Vermeil offense that was in a very similar situation that felt like they had to put up points consistently and in great number to account for that defense. Again, a team that, in terms of balance one side to the other, was very much slanted toward the offensive side. And it just kind of harkens back to what Tony did in his days in Kansas City. I'm sure he will be inducted as a Chief, as he has led on before. And I just thought it's nice to see that the ball is officially rolling. That's where it's heading. And a big, big day. As we look at a couple of other little pieces, I'm not going to get too into the whole announcement that Caesars in Vegas is the official casino sponsor of the NFL now. You knew they were going to have to do something when they decided to allow a team to consider going there. So not too much of a concern or surprise, really. Maybe it is more of a concern. Maybe it should be, but not surprised by that. But that's the other tidbit from the league level. When we look at these upcoming matchups, a lot of teams that the Chiefs have played. Clearly, the team that is best matched against the others is the Chargers and Ravens game this weekend that I think will be very, very telling, because if either of them end up coming back into Arrowhead, I think the Chiefs are in a unique position to capitalize on having seen them before. And you can say, yeah, that all loss is a loss, and that's absolutely true, but the Chargers did it in such a way that I don't think you're going to count that against them. I think you have to feel like going towards that second matchup, or in this case, a third matchup in a season, the Chiefs at home have to have that advantage. I feel like that should be a game that they are well-equipped to win, despite what they allowed to happen last time. They've had a couple of changes go on. Andy Reid has been, as we discussed yesterday, very forward in making sure that the younger players on defense, particularly the corner group that got so burnt against those Chargers, gets some playing time, gets on the field to try and give an athleticism boost, to give a youth boost. He called it juice. I don't know if he's been hanging out with Therese again or what, but it's definitely unique to see that. And I think that's all related to what you saw against those Chargers. And I think that alone changes not just who the personnel might be out there should the Chargers come back to Arrowhead, but also the fact that that attitude has an ability to catch on and to affect the rest of the roster as well. A good piece this week, a good bit of news in talking to some of the guys who've been in the locker room, Matt Derrick in particular, about just how amped Justin Houston is for this run, just how specific he's being in taking on that leadership role and allowing what is for a young roster, what could be a chance to kind of let up a little bit because of the bye week, because they haven't been in this situation before, because young players haven't been this kind of grueling season before. You want to guard against that. And as a seasoned veteran who sees an opportunity to get to the big dance, I think it's very important to see that Justin Houston is taking that vocal leadership. He's not a guy that likes to talk a lot. He does when he has to, but I don't think it's his natural thing. I think Eric Berry's probably the same way, but they need both of them, and they need to lead from both the front of the defense and the back of the defense because they're going to be tested. I think it's critical that this spills onto those younger players, because I think what we've found in the last couple of weeks is Treverius Ward's going to have to play. That you're going to have Dorian O'Daniel out there quite a bit. That you may need Speaks out there some. So especially on that defense that has been so maligned to this point in the season, having that edge, having that intensity about them is critical in making sure that those younger players are really prepared to step into and be ready for whatever matchup comes to pass. There are other players on this offense that clearly have been inclining, stepping up their game, taking it up a few notches as the season went on. Found out from PFF on Thursday also that something that I was unaware of, that Tyreek Hill not only had his best season of the year, but broke the record for quote-unquote deep receiving yards. I believe that's passes of 20 yards plus. And that's an accomplishment there too. And I from what I saw when I looked up it, those records, it's by a very, very good margin as well. So clearly the deep threat in the NFL has become Tyreek Hill. That does spill over to what their offseason plans are going to have to be. And we can talk about that, obviously, this offseason. But that will be a factor that they're going to have to address pretty soon. There are other factors going into after this weekend that are going to affect this team, too. We'll take a quick break, and I'll come back, and we'll talk about that.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
So the big thing, the big takeaway, is that there are going to be times, especially right now, where these teams have to continue to improve, because as the defense goes on, it can't wear out. It can't get worse than it is now. It's been suspect. I feel like it's gotten a little bit of a pop lately because of like Andy Reid planned, because of a younger group of players, a little bit more, I won't call it desperation, but motivation to finish out that season, to take the number one seed, to get home field advantage. That was a good push that was motivational that I thought they stepped up and played into. Clearly, being in the stadium for the Raiders game, I felt like not only that was a game that was a little bit overmatched, that team was not ready to play. There were some mental errors, and we can talk about that a little bit. But the Chiefs were there to put the hammer down, and they did as well. I think you saw them take advantage of what they got. The entire DeMarcus Robinson touchdown was them taking advantage of a bad play by the Raiders defense. Not that there weren't a lot of them, but that one in particular, they executed and took advantage of well. Dan Sorensen's play. We'll go back and look at that, and I'll probably have the film review up on RGR here Friday or Saturday. So I'll do this play as well on that, so make sure you check that out too. But that play where Sorensen steps in front of that pass is because, A, Jared Cook wasn't expecting it, wasn't aware that it was a pass play. I think he was confused with the play call or not paying enough attention, but it also covered up the fact that Chiefs had no idea what they were doing pre-snap. There was a lot of confusion on the other side of the ball about who was to play where, who's supposed to be at the line. You saw all kinds of guys scrambling around. Jordan Lucas looked utterly lost as to what his assignment was to be in that particular configuration. And luckily, I think it was all designed to distract from the fact they were trying to go out to Cook on the one side and he wasn't paying any attention. So that too, the intensity to be on it, to be in a position where you're not 100% of what you're supposed to be doing and still take the advantage and take that takeaway, take it to the house, and take the lead. A lot of taking going on right there, and it's key because these games coming up against better opponents, this Chiefs team has to go take themselves these leads, these opportunities in order to secure wins. And a lot of that is based because of the defense. And the defense has been very interesting. The coaching carousel is beginning to spin. There's a lot of names bouncing around there. Like we talked about Eric Bieniemy yesterday, he's gotten a couple of interviews, head coaching interviews, which I still don't see in his future. I think it's going to come down to the fact that I think most people that are going to be in position, whether it's a GM or an owner, in a position to hire a head coach, I think most of them at the end of the day are going to be inspired by his personality and be motivated by his demeanor towards his players in trying to get the best out of them, but holding them accountable as well. I think that's key. And you've heard me talk about Eric Bieniemy for a long time. One of my favorite coaches on this staff. And I feel like he's kind of an old school guy, but he's got some new tricks. He's willing to learn new tricks. I think that's been eye opening for Reed. But as we go through, he's not the only guy getting interviews, and we see some things. Old Chuck Pagano is getting interviews. Another guy that's a former defensive coordinator, he's getting some head coaching interviews. I believe he looked at the Broncos, if that's, I haven't confirmed that one, but I believe that's out there, and I believe it's true. Chuck Pagano's another guy, you know, with a storied history. I think he left what is now currently the Colts team, which I kind of feel like, I feel like the Colts are going to win this week, and this is the team that the Chiefs are going to face. With Captain Andrew Luck facing Captain Mahomes. And if you don't follow those Twitter feeds, go check those out. I think that's going to be the primetime matchup, but I feel like this turnaround that they've had is because, it has a lot to do with the Chiefs' influence and a terrible amount to do with Pagano's influence. What he did while there, resiliency that he taught, his personal resiliency, his fight with cancer. I feel like that has boiled over to the core of that team, including Luck. And what we've seen them do is take some Chiefs executives and build that team right back up. Good drafts, particularly on the defensive side. My favorite lineman in the last draft ended up there. I think that's all combined into this team that I think the Chiefs are going to see soon. But it all goes back to Pagano. I think Pagano is now, I didn't think he was going to take any coaching interviews this particular offseason. Now that he has, I don't know that a team's going to be willing with him a year out and with the history or of his personal illness. I don't know that he's going to get a head coach offer. But if he's willing to take head coaching, a grueling position, take interviews to be the guy in charge, and put himself through that kind of wear and tear again, I have to feel like he'd be willing to take on a defensive coordinator role again. And that, again, changes the list of defensive coordinators or guys that will be available to be defensive coordinators. The rub is going to be how deep the Chiefs go and how clear they are and what they want to do postseason. There is another guy that I still feel like, given the Chiefs personnel, given what they've been doing lately, I feel like there's another candidate that got a really raw deal in Arizona that could be really good for this team. I like his aggressiveness. I like his honesty. I like his, again, like Bieniemy, a guy that holds his players accountable. I felt like Steve Wilks did a good enough job with his defense because he is, you know, not a coordinator, but a head coach there. I feel like the Arizona Cardinals defense was good enough to not personally bring him down to the point where he can't be a coordinator. I feel that he can. I feel he can be good. He does or has, when he was in Carolina, run a lot of the 4-3 base. And I know a lot of you have brought up concerns about that to me because I do feel like he'd be probably still, even with Pagano in the mix, I still feel like he is probably the best candidate. And here's the reason. I went back and looked at some film from the Carolina Panthers in 2017, the year that he was their defensive coordinator. And again, Ron Rivera is the head coach there, so always has his hands in the defense as well. And it looks like Ron's going to stay. Haven't heard anything about him going. There are sometimes some delayed firings in the coaching ranks, so I can't say that that's over, but it looks like Ron Rivera is going to stay in Carolina. And what I see from what Wilks did calling those plays is they did run some 3-4. They did run some nickel. Obviously, there was a lot of the 4-3 base. When you have Kuechly in there, you know, you can do a lot of things. And I think that's really key to what it is. And the more that I look at it, the more I feel like Wilks can run a hybrid defense. This team already plays the Chiefs. They play what I think this year, I can't quote it because I don't have official numbers from PFF, but it has gone up the amount of nickel that they play from last season, where they were, I think, fourth in the league in playing 68% nickel. So, I'm sorry, nickel or dime, not base is the point. And so that's only getting bigger. And I feel like he's in a position to come in. And it gives you, especially with Dorian O'Daniel, who I think can be a will in a 4-3 that can step back in the nickel package, and you don't change personnel. I think that's a nice thing to have as a defensive coordinator, to move those chess pieces around. And I feel like Wilkes is still in the best position to come in and be able to take the players that the Chiefs have and mold them into a productive unit. Yes, they still need talent. They need a corner. They need two corners. They need a safety. They need an inside linebacker. They still need an edge rusher. I'm convinced that they have to have a premier talent at edge rush just to prepare for what's going to happen in the future. But all those things, I think, can be rolled into some different roles, and I still feel like Wilkes is probably the best candidate out there at this moment. So right there, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about these matchups.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So all that said, if you're looking at something like that down the road, you have to feel like you know where you're going, because the Chiefs aren't going to do interviews past this week because of their schedule. And I expect their schedule to stretch into February. So what they have to prepare for is have an idea. And I think it's very telling that when you look down the list, and Therese Paylor did a great job this week going down and kind of highlighting everybody that's interviewing in different towns right now. And what you find is that Steve Wilkes isn't one of them. He is blatantly absent. And I feel like that's not just a reflection, because I feel like most teams understand that 1 year and out is not a legitimate look at what he can do longer term. Maybe he was caught off guard. Maybe he was completely thrown under the bus by his organization. But the fact that he's not interviewing currently, in what is the height of the interview, teams want to get a head coach in, get it straightened out so they can get onto the offseason and start improving their roster with a head coach in mind. So I feel the fact that he's not interviewing, it's not publicly out there, that somebody's garnering him as a coordinator, and that maybe he's happy doing that. I can feel how when you went from a DB coach to a coordinator to a head coach in three seasons, maybe you want to take a step back and recollect your thoughts and focus on building the best defense that you can in a new town. And I feel like that may be what's going on. I can't say that it's the Chiefs. I hope that it is. But I feel like it could be something out there, and somebody's talking to him because he's not talking to other head coaching candidate positions. So that said, enough of the coordinators. What I think is going to happen is I do feel, and I won't give you scores because I just don't have the very specifics of how each game's going to go, but I feel like the Colts are going to win. The Colts being the sixth seed means that if they do win, they come to Arrowhead. And I feel like that's a great quarterback matchup. I feel like that's one that the Chiefs can win fairly well as well. They have a great linebacker in Leonard that I think can keep up with a lot of things. I don't expect Spencer Ware to walk back into the starting role because I just don't feel his explosiveness is there. But we will see. And I feel like on offense, they have some weapons, but not enough. And I think the Chiefs, with an extra week to prepare, will be able to kind of corral the Colts offense some. Enough to get a win. So I'm feeling confident about that. Obviously, the Patriots will be another story a week removed. So we'll get to that when we get to that. I have a gut feeling that these Chargers mean enough business that they're going to get past the Ravens. So I am seeing that as well. And I think that bodes well for what the Chiefs can do as well. Because then, should the Chiefs hold court and beat Indianapolis, it has a look like you're going to get a chance at the Chargers or the Patriots, and I think that's a good scenario at home in Arrowhead. So that's where I see it right now. I hope you guys enjoy those games. I'm going to. I have a lot going on, and I'm really looking forward to what happens this week to see exactly what's going to happen next week. But thank you for all of your time. It's been a great turn of the year. I'm back home in Colorado, so I got a lot more things going on. To everyone that I saw out at Arrowhead, thank you very much. It was great seeing you guys. Appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.